Right, well, we're looking at the Easter story. We're looking at John chapter 21. I want you to just have in front of you, though, John chapter 22. This is page 1090. So John 20, just look at that with me first of all. You'll see that Jesus has died. That was John 19. He was buried. And then we read, Andrea read earlier from Matthew's account, this story of the first people who went to the tomb early in the morning. I myself was up early this morning, and as the dawn rose, was thinking about this story. And Jesus appeared. Just think about that. This one who was dead and in the grave for 3 days, he appeared. He appeared first to Mary, this woman who was weeping. And in John chapter 20, you see her account as she meets with Jesus and realizes it's Jesus. And then Jesus appears to the disciples at the end of John chapter 20. In fact, he appears twice to them because Thomas wasn't there one of the times. Then you might have heard of doubting Thomas. He wasn't sure that they were speaking the truth. And so Jesus comes and appears again. And we're going to pick up the story in John 21, verse 1. Where it says this. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boats, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped in the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said, bring some of the fish you have just caught. And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's just pause and pray and ask God to speak to us through his word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it helps us see Jesus. Come, Lord, now, I pray. Be with me, be with all of us. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts might be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you've ever seen a bargain and you think that is a brilliant bargain. And you kind of look at it, maybe, I don't know, it's in a shop or maybe on the Groupon website that I imagine some of you might have discovered by now, that place where you can kind of find a few bargains locally. And you look at it and you think, is that for real? Is that really what it seems for the cost it is? And you kind of are drawn to it and you think, if it is, if it's real, if it's authentic, then I'm going for it. I'm going to get that. Or maybe actually as you see it there, you're actually maybe not quite sure. It looks like a good thing, but you can't quite see what it really is even. you know, I heard on this radio this morning, this minister, he was actually the minister of St. George's Chapel in Windsor Castle. And he was using a story from the gospel accounts. And he was saying it's a bit like those old 3D pictures. Do you remember these old 3D pictures? The kind of magic eye ones where you had to kind of stand back. I had some of these by my bed. I couldn't believe it. And you're trying to think and get it right. And you know there's, at least you've been told there's something there. But you're struggling to see it. Do you remember? You might have to be it's 3D age, of course. You can just go to the cinema and see it. But this is how 3D kind of started, and you had to move it along like that. I don't know if you remember. And it kind of, sometimes it was an image that was embedded behind it, or something or other. But, you know, there you go. That's what that one was, if you'd done it right. You remember this stuff? You know, sometimes I think the gospel accounts are a bit like that for some. You know, you hear that there's something there, something that's more than 2D. It's kind of, it's real. And it sounds good, but you think, is it really real? Because if it is, then maybe I need this. Not just maybe, but this sounds amazing. And the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, is the best news there is. And I hope that you'll see that whoever you are this morning, however you've come to Easter, and maybe even as someone greeted you and said, Happy Easter, you are maybe thinking, you know what, I don't always feel that. And maybe even this morning you don't feel that. But I pray this morning you will realize that this news, this account of Jesus, it meets our deepest needs. It is real. And it's wonderful. So I want to start in the story we've been reading about acknowledging our emptiness. Do you notice how these disciples, they've heard that, they've seen Jesus appear to them a couple of times, and he'd said of them and wanted them to go on into Galilee. So there they are in Galilee, and they're kind of thinking, well, what should we do, I guess? And so they decide, well, a bunch of them are fishermen, particularly Simon Peter, who's there. And so he says, verse 3, well, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter said. And the others say, well, we'll go with you. And so they go out in the boat, it says, but that night they caught nothing. Do you ever have days or evenings a bit like that? Can you relate to that kind of feeling? I don't know if you imagine what they must have been going through and talking as they were coming back to shore, thinking, well, that wasn't worth it. You know, tired, frustrated, feeling like, well, you know, not much happened there. Recognizing that their nets were empty. They caught nothing. I don't know about you, but in those kind of times, I sometimes find myself just thinking about things in the not too distant past of my life. And, you know, you reflect and think, well, not just was it maybe not a great sort of night, but actually looking back over the past few weeks. And imagine you were Simon Peter. We read in the sort of in the earlier account of John, you can read in John 19 that Peter was one of the disciples who at Jesus' betrayal and trial and crucifixion, he'd denied that he knew Jesus. He'd kind of said, in Jesus' time of need, he'd kind of said, no, I don't know him at all. And so you imagine for Peter, this sense of failure that probably in a time like this is coming back to the service. Oh, not only has he not been able to catch fish, he's failed at that, but actually in this way bigger thing, he's failed and let down the Lord. He's not even just kept his own standard. He's not been who he could be for God. And that's just Peter. Imagine Thomas there in the boat. The one who just at the end of chapter 20, he doubted and had a severe challenge from Jesus to say, stop doubting, believe. I imagine that for Thomas maybe came back to mind. You've got others there like Nathanael and the sons of Zebedee. And the sons of Zebedee are James and John, these kind of guys who sometimes lost their temper a bit. And you've got the other two disciples, the two that we don't even know their name. Maybe you sometimes feel like that, the one who kind of is, you know, is it worth even mentioning the name? And yet they're special. And Jesus comes to them all in their emptiness. Jesus comes to us in our need, the risen Lord. And he says, look with me in that thing. It says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, verse 4, but they did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, friends, I love that. Just pause for a moment. The risen Jesus, this one we've been singing, he is Lord. He calls out and says, friends. And I believe this morning he'd want to call out to you and I and say, friends. And he says to them, haven't you caught anything? And they acknowledged their emptiness, the emptiness of their nets, but their need before him. They say, no. And Jesus, I believe, would want to come to us this morning and say, friends, do you need my help? David, Tim, look around and I see many I know and a bunch of folks I don't know so well. I don't know your name, but Jesus does. And he would call you friends. Do you need his help? Do you need Jesus' help? Are you looking for peace? And yet actually, when you pause and look in, as it were, the net, you find that you've really not got the peace you are looking for. Are you looking for freedom? And actually, if you're honest, you have to acknowledge you don't feel free. Looking for joy, and yet you don't feel the joy that maybe you see others saw, like Kathy noticed, others seem to have a joy that she didn't have. Are you looking for purpose? But actually, you're thinking, what is my purpose? Are you looking for eternal security, the confidence of life that perseveres through death? And maybe you'll come and have to acknowledge, you know what, in your own self, though you can sort out the next month or the next week in your diary, you have to admit, beyond that, is out of your hands. Well, do you need help, my friend, this morning? Because Jesus comes and says, friend, if you will acknowledge your need, then he can help. He can help me. He can help you. He does help. He is alive and risen. But first, we need to acknowledge our emptiness. Secondly, though, we see that on this beach, as Jesus appears to them, it's early in the morning, verse 4, and Jesus stood there on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. And so what happens in the verses that follow is he speaks to them, and they see him more clearly as time goes on. It's like these sort of 3D pictures. As they hear his voice and they see what happens as he speaks and guides them, and the nets start picking up these fish, they start to realize, we know this. We know this man. We recognize this. This is Jesus. And the Apostle John says, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. He recognizes that Jesus has risen and is real. Now, they've had experience of Jesus over the years, and then they've had these other appearances, so they knew what they were kind of looking for. But yet even this appearance is slightly different than when he appears to Mary or when he appeared to Thomas, because Jesus tends to come to us. The risen Jesus often comes to us in ways that you and I can sometimes miss. I find that remarkable, that one so powerful should be willing to come so often in so ordinary ways. And yet he comes to us, and it's often in a specific individual way that connects with you or I. And there's something in your heart and spirit which kind of goes, it's the Lord. This is Jesus speaking to me. Maybe as you read the Bible, or you come to a service, or you walk by the sea. Or I find even sometimes when I'm in a situation of great brokenness, and I sense, you know, the Lord's here. This is why he came. And Jesus comes and he meets them in their need. He has risen. He is real. They see and hear. And it wasn't just that it was one or two of them. You know, we read in 1 Corinthians 15, in one of the earliest letters to be written in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, it says this. You could turn to it, but it's up here on your screens. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 6. Now, brothers, Paul says, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. That word gospel is good news. By this good news, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you would have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than, what does it say? 500. There's about probably that many here this morning. 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. So imagine a situation where maybe I did something in the service. And a couple of you said to others that, David did this surprising thing. And maybe as you hear that, you would say, well, there's only one or two. I'm not sure it's completely reliable. But say 500 of you all said, yeah, David did that. That then. That's pretty authentic. Well, the risen Jesus appeared to one and two and 500. He is real. The appearances of Jesus speak of his authenticity. You can trust him. He is alive today. That's why many billions around the world are celebrating this Easter. And if you've got questions about the authenticity of Jesus Christ, I've got some books and little things, booklets at the doorway that if you just come and see me as you leave and you think, you know what? Yeah, I'd love to find out more. I'd love to give you one of those that just speak into some of these, the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you know, the Apostle John knew it. He said, it's the Lord. Do you notice that down in verse 7? It's the Lord. And it says in verse 7 that as soon as Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, it's like he knows it too. And he thinks, this is wonderful. This is Jesus. And he starts moving. He's so excited. He's so excited because he knows this Jesus. He's seen this Jesus heal the sick. He's seen this Jesus reach out to lepers when no one else would even touch them. He's seen this Jesus feed the 5,000. He's seen this Jesus stand up to the hypocrisy of the religious elite who would just be spouting lies and stand up with courage. He's seen this Jesus go to a cross and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he's seen this Jesus rise from the dead. And boy, how wonderful. And so, of course, he responds with a splash. Of course, Jesus, this Peter, he's wanting to do whatever it takes to be close to Jesus. And I wonder this morning, as you're here, what are you and I willing to do to get close to Jesus? You know, the resurrection appearances of Jesus, they don't just show us that this Jesus is authentic and real. They actually show us what he's like as well. Do you notice in this passage? I mean, he could do anything, the risen Jesus. You see what he's doing? Look back with me. I've got a little gospel hidden behind here. And some notes. Just look back at John 21. This is a little booklet. If you don't have a copy of John at the end, I'd love to give you one of these. This is just John's gospel. John chapter 21. Just look what you see about Jesus here. Maria's got these up on the screen as well. You know, Jesus meets them. He comes to them. He comes to where they are. The risen Jesus comes to where you and I are. He comes to help us in our time of need. He actually wants us to acknowledge that we need him. Like I was saying at the beginning. And that doesn't put him off. You might think, but he doesn't know what a mess I've made of my life. Of the sin that's there. Peter knew the sin that was in his life. I know the sin that's in my life. If you're honest, you know that your life doesn't honor Jesus and God. You don't keep his law as he's called you to. And yet Jesus comes to help us in our need. And he comes with power. Power to change. Power to bring fish out of nowhere. And he does so often these things in kind of ordinary ways, but yet they're extraordinary. That's so like Jesus. And he's generous. They didn't need 153 fish. I can imagine these fishermen thinking, counting it so they could tell their friends, wow, look at all these fish. They probably only needed six. There were about six or seven of them. They were large fish, but he's generous. He's loving. You imagine this feeling. Look at him in here in John 21, when they come and they see the coals burning on the fire. Has anyone ever made breakfast for you, cook breakfast in the morning? You can just see it, particularly if you've been working hard all night. And says, bring them some of the fish you've just caught. And they climb aboard. And what is it down there in verse 12, where Jesus said to them, come and have some breakfast. Come and have some breakfast, Jesus says. The risen Savior calling, beckoning you and I. Come and receive from him what he's prepared for you. Come to him, the one who is able to meet your needs, satisfy that emptiness, deal with that sin. He dealt with it when he died on the cross, paying the penalty for my sin and yours. And if we are to come to him, we need to acknowledge our need and then say, thank you for dying for me. Thank you that you've been willing to take my place, Jesus. I recognize, I believe you are God. Come to earth, the risen one, and you can help me. And I'm going to follow you. And so, this morning, don't wait. Peter didn't wait, did he? He didn't go, it's the Lord. Well, I'll be there in a few minutes and we'll just wait until then. He thought, no, now I want to be there. Sometimes you can think, well, next week I'll get closer to Jesus. I'll take more time. Next year, when I'm old, when I'm retired, when the kids have left home. No, now. He is worth it now. Come to him. Do what it takes. For some, you know, it's a question of making the time. Maybe it's come back weekly. I don't know. Maybe you're here as a one-off. Why not come back again next week? Make the time. For others, it's actually responding with a splash. It's literally responding with a splash. It's going, you know what? I do believe I can answer those questions that David asked when people, asked to be baptized. And you've been there and you know it's Jesus. He's been calling you to get baptized. And you need to kind of respond with a splash literally today. Hey, we always say, if you feel that God's calling you, that we've got spare clothes and towels, you can just come forward. Just as others are getting baptized, just come to the front. I'll ask you those same questions. If you can say yes to them, you're over 16. Just do that when it's the one-offs, then come. Come and be baptized this morning. Maybe for you, though, it's before then even. You just, how do I come, David? What does it mean to come to Jesus? Well, there's a great verse in Hebrews 11:6 that says this, up on the screen. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you want to come to Jesus this morning, as he says, come and have breakfast, as he welcomes you to receive from him, if you want to come to him, you must first and foremost believe him. Believe he exists. Believe he is the risen Lord. Believe that you need him. Faith is responding to someone's words because you believe them. If I say, I'm going to be down the beach to watch the Passion play at 4:00. If you believe me, I say, come meet me. If you believe me, then you'll respond to that. You'll trust me. When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, when Jesus says he is the resurrection and the life, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Believing is trusting in his words, believing that he exists and coming to him. So as I end, I want to urge you, please, if you want this to be a happy Easter, truly a happy Easter, and my longing and prayer for you is that it would. If you don't know that you and Jesus are good and at peace and that you know you're following him, then can I urge you to echo this prayer with me? It's a prayer of speaking to him because he's alive and he can hear you. So up here on the screen says this, Jesus, I acknowledge my emptiness without you. I acknowledge that I've failed you. I come to you. I believe in you. Please forgive me. Please help me follow you. Amen. So let's bow our heads, and just now in this quiet, between you and God, you and Jesus, if you've never spoken to Jesus like this before, then please now in your heart, echo these words with me as I say them. Let's be still. Jesus, I acknowledge my emptiness without you. I acknowledge that I've failed you. I come to you. I believe in you. Please forgive me. Please help me follow you. Just before we say amen, if that is you, if that this morning was you praying that to Jesus, then please, would you just raise your hand and indicate, I'd love some of my friends to give you one of these gospels as a gift, and I'd love to know. So I'm just looking downstairs, first of all. I've got some people who'll come and bring one of these John's gospels to you. If that is you, just raise your hand. Everyone else's head is bowed. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Just at the back behind you, Wendy. Thank you. Anyone else just downstairs? Just looking upstairs now. Anyone upstairs, you just prayed that with me and you just want to respond and catch someone's eye and get one of those gifts there. Can't see so easily from down here, but as you just stick your hand up, there's people up there. They'll just come and give you one of those gospels as a gift. There's a pen there you can just write down so we can just connect and encourage you. There's just someone just here as well. Lord, thank you that you are the God who saves. Thank you that you are real and you are wonderful. And Lord, for many here who do know you have prayed prayers like that in the past, Lord, we ourselves want to come again this Easter and say, Lord, yeah, whatever it takes to be close to you, we want to do it. We don't want to put it off. So Lord, just bring to mind what those things are, that we might see again this Easter just how special it is to know you and follow you. And we ask all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.